chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I'm a survivor.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back into the Lions 24/7 podcast. I am Tyler Donahue. We are closing out this week on a Friday, following up a Wednesday episode, a little bit of a late start into the week. I was knocked out with a bit of a cold early on. My throat was all shredded up. So appreciate Daniel and Mark for hopping on with me a little bit later in the week on Wednesday. If you missed that episode, we spent well over an hour breaking down the latest in our coverage at Lions 24/7. Front and center, of course, right now is getting on the field a couple different times to this point for spring practice coverage. We were on the field for practice number one. For practice number four, we heard from Andy Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator, who's working through his first couple weeks on the field in practice mode with his guys. We heard from James Franklin, a few team veterans. So if you missed our Wednesday episode of the Lions 24/7 podcast, I highly suggest you go to that one, catch up on what we're hearing and seeing from the field at line at during spring practice. And additionally, go over to Lions247.com in the days ahead through the weekend. We'll have more content coming your way from our spring practice coverage. We had Pro Day talk on the last episode as well, what that experience was like in Holuba Hall last Friday, with more than a dozen Penn State representatives there looking toward the NFL and their potential opportunities there. And then we closed out with a complete kind of debrief on the basketball season that just concluded. Men's basketball, women's basketball are still playing in the postseason. Daniel Gallen was actually on hand for coverage of that this week. But we kind of put the punctuation mark at the end of Mike Rhodes' year number one. We looked at some of the early departures, and we just saw Jameel Brown today also enter the transfer portal. So a lot to kind of deal with on the basketball front too. Again, just wanted to put that out there. We're going to go all in on recruiting this episode, and who better to do that with than Tyler Calvaruso. So I wanted to make sure if you missed that last episode, that's where you can find a ton of that stuff. If you're looking for some recruiting coverage and trying to play catch up, and it's the time of the year where if you miss a few days, you miss a lot because of the visits that are happening, the plans that are taking place right now, and the momentum that's being built towards new commitments in the 2025 cycle in particular. And Tyler, happy to bring you back on to break down all that. We got a lot of topics to sort through here today.
Yeah, man, it's great to be back. We definitely have a lot to get into, so I'm looking forward to it.
Let's start by looking backward a bit. I know last time you were on the podcast, 7-8 days ago, we were looking at that first weekend of spring practice. Penn State was going to be back on the field. They were going to have visitors on campus. Tell us about how it went for some of the headliners involved, who got here, and what they made of the impact of actually seeing Penn State in person and getting a chance to have a little more intimate time with members of the staff.
Yeah, Penn State really kicked off its spring visit slate with a solid first week. You know, a bunch of high-profile names made to campus, and that Saturday, it was a bigger list, you know, for the spring. I think it was around 40 guys. There was one list last spring that got up to around, I believe it was like 55, 60 prospects. So you're seeing, you know, Penn State making the most of these weekend practices on Saturday to, you know, get some of the top targets on campus, get them to get eyes on spring practice, which is probably a bigger deal this cycle than most cycles, considering the fact you've got three new coordinators in place. You know, Andy Kotelnicki, Tom Allen on the offensive and defensive side, a lot of top targets want to get eyes on the way they interact and coach up their players during practice. That was a big thing for Jadon Blair, you know, priority target at safety, who we talk about a bunch. It was another good visit for him. And probably the biggest reason for that were, you know, between the interactions with Allen and just seeing his defense on the practice field. It was something that really impressed Blair. And going into that visit, you know, I was kind of wondering what Penn State could do to just continue rising up with Blair, because he's been around so much and quite frequently and recently as well, you know, returning in January. So he's seen a bunch. He knows the inner workings of the program at this point. But even though that he's been around so many times, it was still a new experience with him seeing Allen's defense in action for the first time. He was really impressed with what he saw, three safety looks. He was impressed with Allen from his interactions with him. It's another guy he feels like he could play for along with Anthony Poindexter. So Penn State continues to head in the right direction with Blair. Yeah, top running back target on campus in Bo Jackson from Ohio. Another good visit for him. You know, we're going to have to see if that official visit gets locked in. That's something that is being worked towards, you know, being finalized, hopefully, for Penn State. And, you know, we talk about the two backs that Penn State has on board right now. They've stayed involved with a bunch of third backs, and Jackson's one of them. You know, he's really impressed the staff since he camped as an underclassman and got offered during that day. I believe it was ahead of the beginning of his sophomore season. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was the timeline where when Jackson first popped onto Penn State's radar. And he has a good relationship with Jaywon Sider as such. Those two have known each other for an extended period of time. So Jackson's another big name that made it to campus, and Penn State helped itself. And Darren Ikenigbaum, the top 100 defensive lineman from New Jersey. It was a good visit. You know, he continues to have a good relationship with Deion Barnes and the rest of the staff. It's kind of tough to get a read on where things are at with him right now. I think scoring an official visit would be a big win for Penn State. I continue to watch Georgia with him. Bulldogs doing a really good job recruiting him. But that interior defensive line board, Ikenigbaum is one of the top names, and Penn State's going to continue to work him. Those are just, you know, three of the bigger names that made it to campus. There were a bunch of top targets, and we did our best to catch up with all of them, get feedback. There was a lot coming in between the 2025 and 2026 prospect that made it to town.
Yeah, I know there was a ton of coverage coming out of the weekend, and we're just going to touch on a few guys there from the podcast, because we could spend an entire episode just breaking down what happened last weekend. But that was last weekend. I do want to circle back to a few things that just stood out to me from what you listed there. Not only the fact that we're talking about blue chip talent, top 100 talents here. In the case of Jadon Blair, top 200 player, top 15 overall safety in 24/7 sports rankings. And you talked about the frequency which we have brought up Blair, a 6'4", 190-pound safety from Mount Tabor High School in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, a premier player in the state of North Carolina, who hot commodity in the ACC, in the Big Ten, in the SEC. A lot of teams want this guy. He keeps coming back to Penn State. Penn State keeps going back to him when they can hit the road. And I know we're going to I'll tease what we're talking about later, official visits. He's got one locked in now. What's really left here to be done for the Nittany Lions to close this one out with a commitment?
I mean, really, it seems like it's kind of just fending off those other official visits that Blair has to take. Penn State has put itself in a good position to close here. You know, that has continued to be the feedback from multiple sources. And really, you know, Blair is unique in the sense that he's different than a lot of the safeties on Penn State's board with his size and length. So that's one of the reasons why he's so much of a priority for the staff and has been for an extended period of time now. He's got 7 total official visits locked in. You know, Penn State is going to be the last one before he comes to a decision on July 5th. And I remember when he first finalized his official visit schedule, me and you on here discussed, you know, the value of getting that last visit, you know, the potential that would play for Penn State, how it could potentially help it. Now, knowing that he's announcing during that 4th of July weekend and that Penn State is going to get the last crack at him, because I don't think Blair is actually going to pop before, you know, he doesn't strike me as the kind of prospect who's going to take an official visit with 3 or 4 official visits still left on the docket and pop. I think he's going to go through the entirety of his slate, go back to North Carolina, sit down with his family, and then come to a decision based on everything he experienced throughout official visit season. So it's really just closing time for the Penn State staff. And this is something that the staff has shown it is good at during these official visits on recent cycles. When you think about some of the linebackers that the staff locked down on officials in recent cycles, you know, going back to 2023, I remember Tamir Robinson was a guy who might have been leaning elsewhere before his official visit. Penn State staff gets him back on campus, seals the deal. You've seen that a lot with this staff. And I think that Allen Poindexter and, of course, James Franklin are going to play a just vital role in Penn State's ability to close on the top 24/7 prospect.
And another subject to me that stood out was the running back. When you have two guys that are on board, one of which is an in-state prospect, Aliquippa, in Tyquai Hayes, and then you've got the kid who's been in Arkansas and Texas. Now he's at Miami Central, and Keandre Barker. Barker is considered a four-star in 24/7 Sports Assessment. Hayes at high three-star as of right now here as they're working their way through the end of their junior years of high school. And we're talking about Bo Jackson spending time on campus. He's someone who, you know, I don't see Penn State slamming the door shut in his face. He's the number 77 overall prospect in the nation. He's the number three running back in the country. And he's out of Cleveland, Ohio, with a lot of offers, including the in-state Buckeyes. So when we just assess, generally speaking, that third running back spot, is we talking about generally there's going to be a third running back, or this is VIP territory? If you're of an exclusive caliber running back, then there's three maybe on board.
Yeah, I don't think Penn State's in the business of adding a third just for the sake of adding a third. I think that if the staff decides it wants to welcome a third running back aboard, in addition to a group in Tyke Hayes and Keandre Barker that it already really, really likes, and those guys don't look like they're going anywhere. So it's a very selective process. You know, that kind of makes it sometimes a tricky process. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it and you really look at the names on the board and the names that Penn State is interested in, it's kind of simplified because Jackson, Alvin Henderson, who's a top 24/7 back from Alabama, who just publicly announced his official visit today. He's going to be there during that May 31st, June 2nd span. That's another guy, you know, Penn State wouldn't slam the door in. And you've got another, you know, in-state target as well. Jabri Wallace Coleman from Imhotep is a guy that we've talked about a bunch here. He's quiet, but Penn State has remained involved with him. And, you know, the interest is definitely mutual from the former Georgia commit. So we got to keep an eye on that as well. But definitely a situation where, when you look at numbers in this class and, you know, how many prospects it might feature and, you know, where those numbers are going to be allocated, the possibility for a third running back, it's definitely there. Right now, you know, based on some of the feedback we've been getting, I'd probably lean more yes than no. But again, it's got to be the right kind of back. You know, it reminds me of last cycle when we were talking about quarterback recruiting, you know, prior to the commitment of Ethan Grunkemeyer. Oh, is this going to be a two quarterback class? Gets Grunkemeyer on board and decides, hey, look, there's no need for a second quarterback now. You know, so they're going to be selective with who they take, if assuming they do take a third running back. So Jackson, Henderson, Wallace Coleman, you know, Bryce Lewis from American Heritage down in Florida. He's a name who pops up from time to time. There are options. You know, there are some quality backs on that board for Penn State. So we're going to have to see what comes about on that front, but they're in there with some pretty high quality backs. So if you want to add a third, it looks like Penn State is going to be a good spot to get a high tier back in there.
Penn State has signed, you know, one running back classes at different points, very rarely in the James Franklin era. I don't think it's happened since Jawan Slater has taken over as running backs coach. There was one cycle where they actually only brought in a transfer player in John Lovett out of Baylor. But beyond that, it's been two-man classes, and many of them have had success right away. Of course, Noah Cain and Devin Ford did some damage when they got to campus in 2019. We know what Nick Singleton and Katron Allen have accomplished together. Even Kevon Lee was an important piece of the puzzle his first year on campus because of some surprising circumstances. Last year was a rarity where you had two guys take red shirts, two guys not involved at all. And because of that, you kind of skip a beat in at least known, you know, having taken a step forward and learning about guys and how they handle Saturday spotlight. It creates a bit of a gap on this roster to me that makes the 2025 class, one, vitally important for the future of this room, but two, it makes it a door is open opportunity for the right recruit. I know you're probably going to have to share it with two other running backs in that freshman class, and then you're following a two running back class in Corey Smith and Quentin Martin, but going into this year, we fully expect Katron Allen and Nick Singleton, as long as their plans go the way they want, you know, if they take care of their business, they're not going to be here next year, or they're going to be here for pro day and they're moving forward. And so we don't know anything about London Montgomery to this point, aside from that he needs to get bigger physically. We don't know anything about Cam Wallace, aside from that he has gotten bigger physically and he shows flashes on the practice field. And we don't know much about Quentin Martin because he's only five practices into his college football career. So to me, even if one of those guys do get loose and become a really, an authentic number three running back who's contributing on a regular basis, you're still going to be looking at a 2025 running back room, Tyler, that if you dive into this thing and you're a very talented running back, let's just say a guy like Bo Jackson, a top 100 recruit, a top five running back talent, you're coming into a room where you might have a guy who's established a head start for himself, whether it's a Quentin Martin or a Cam Wallace or whoever that may be. but there's not going to be probably a guy who's logged a start or been a featured back. And to me, that's pretty enticing. Even though there might be a crowd here, there's not going to be a lot of guys who have gotten it done in Big Ten action.
Yeah, it is definitely an enticing opportunity for the running backs in the 2025 class, but I think it also ups the ante for the guy, for the young guys who are already on campus.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're Cam Wallace, if you're London Montgomery, if you're Quentin Martin, if you're even Corey Smith, who's obviously not on campus yet, but will be soon, you know, you see this 2025 class coming together. You see the potential, you know, you already got two guys on board. Maybe even a third is going to be added into the equation. So if you're one of those underclassmen who's trying to, you know, work your way up the depth chart, there's kind of not necessarily a sense of urgency, because these guys are definitely still developing and they've got a long way to go in their career. There are going to be changes physically. There are going to be changes in terms of on the field performance and just guys coming along. You know, Quentin Martin, from the feedback that we received, you know, between winter workouts and where he's at now, he has kind of, you know, fine tuned a lot of the things mechanically as a runner that, you know, didn't necessarily pop up as red flags coming out of high school, but you want to see him be a little bit better. You know, playing with a higher pad level was something that popped up in his 24/7 Sports scouting report, and it's something that the staff feels has been rectified to a degree. So, you know, guys are going to continue to develop. But when you look at that Penn State running back depth chart, you know, it's a big opportunity for a younger back to come in and potentially make either an instant impact or, you know, work your way onto the two deep early. So, yeah, it's definitely kind of, running back room is kind of the land of opportunity beyond this season. I think a lot of prospects see that, and I think that's why Penn State has been able to stay involved with the names that it has been able to stay involved with at running back in this 2025 class. Because, you know, if there wasn't room for playing time, you know, certain guys would be looking elsewhere. That's the nature of recruiting when you've already got two backs on board at this juncture.
An elite guy awaits in 2026 as well, in-state star in Messiah Mickens, who's definitely going to make a case for himself to be considered a five-star caliber kind of talent. And oh, by the way, I feel like I've ended every single segment on this podcast since probably 2019 that we've discussed running backs. Just trust what Jawan Sider is doing.
Yes.
Just trust him, and he'll put the right room together. I think at this point, the benefit of the doubt is very much in his favor.
We'll be right back on the Lions 24/7 podcast.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Tyler, let's shift gears and look ahead a little bit. Still not ahead to us, but moving forward through the week, because there are still visitors coming through during the week now that we have Penn State on the field for a couple practices. Now, again, we were out there for a bit of their Tuesday practice. There's prospects at these things as well. And one of the priority guys in this 2025 cycle in the state of Pennsylvania has really turned out to be Andrew Olesch, tight end, a guy who's gotten a ton of Power 5 interest lately and very high-level Power 5 interest, and someone who has kind of had to digest a elite-level recruitment and kind of a smaller window than many people do. He's all of a sudden a top 24/7 recruit. I think you watch the film. I think what you see from him and what you're going to see on the spring camp circuit and into the summer is going to validate a lot of that and probably push him even further. So him getting to campus is a significant deal. And what did we learn about the impact of that?
You know, he was originally going to visit on April 4th, and there's still a chance that visit happens, you know, depending on how his spring visit schedule ultimately plays out. But he wanted to get to campus a little bit early, you know, with Penn State, some of the former Penn State players being in town for pro day. You know, there were a bunch on campus and two of them were tight ends. You know, Pat Freiermuth was in town, Brent Strange was in town, and, you know, Olish wanted the opportunity to, you know, speak with those guys and probably gain a deeper insight into the program. I would say what it's really like to be part of Ty Howell's tight end room. And I think that's something he's going to carry with him throughout his recruitment moving forward as he goes on all of these spring visits. I mean, I can't even rattle them off at this point. That's how many that he has scheduled. It's got to be at least 8, 9. I don't even know. But he's locked in with all these spring visits. Penn State gets him first. I would say that Penn State did a stock report on some of these visitors coming out of the weekend, and Olish was a name that came up. And I wrote that, you know, I can't really say Penn State is stock up with him, but that's only because I believe Penn State is probably at the top of his list right now. There's a ton of, you know, potential suitors involved with him, and he's very open. That is something that he has maintained throughout his process. But you just take into account his relationships with Ty Howell and the rest of the staff. You take into account how many times he's been around. That's not something that these other programs have going for them. Now, the flip side of that is now he has something to compare these other programs against. He's going to get to the likes of Missouri, Alabama. He's already been to Florida State. And he's going to be able to compare these visits to his Penn State visits. How do certain things stack up? How do the facilities stack up versus Penn State's facilities? You know, things like that. I think that'll be valuable for him in his recruitment moving forward as he sorts through his options and, you know, kind of narrows down and determines once the summer rolls around, which schools does he want to officially visit? Penn State's definitely going to get one, it looks like, at this point. But who are the other programs that Olish is going to seriously consider moving forward? So I think these spring visits with him are going to play a really big part in determining the direction of his recruitment in May and June. But Penn State is going to continue to sit in a good spot, if not the best spot.
At a Southern Lehigh High School, 6'5", 215-pound range, number 12 tight end in 24/7 sports rankings, the number 5 player in the state of Pennsylvania. And this is obviously a position that Penn State is recruiting from a really significant strength, just like Jawan Sider is in the running back room. We've gone over it time and time again. To have him physically face-to-face with guys like Pat Freiermuth and Brendan Strange, who went in round 2, you know, some of the top tight ends off the board in their draft class, and they've had an opportunity to get it done in the NFL, and Pat Freiermuth is further along than that. Brendan, maybe next time he comes to town, he can cross paths with the freshly drafted Theo Johnson and maybe hear some more stories from that room. But it's a good thing they have brewing, and then we'll see if another end state player adds to that mix. They've got guys like Khalil Dinkins and Joey Schlafer, who were former in-state standouts that are now vying for roles in the tight end room. Just to tack on to what you said, Brian Doan recently reporting Pittsburgh, Penn State, Ohio State, Alabama, Auburn, Ole Miss, Florida, and Miami are in line to see Andrew Olish on campus.
How many is that? 8?
That's that. I couldn't even count.
I think I got the number right.
It's a lot. You know what that is? It's a lot of miles logged. And that's one of those trips where you come home and you're starting to feel like you're probably ready to reach the finish line, because that was tiring and exhausting and exhilarating. But I think he's going to learn a lot. Like we said, he's got a lot of a recruitment to kind of handle in a shortened span. He's now, you know, a top tight end recruit in America, but he wasn't necessarily viewed that way just a matter of months ago. So this is something that he is, you know, getting that intel for himself on the road. Staying in the state, another guy who has soared up the rankings. He's now number 62 overall at 24/7 Sports. He's the number 1 player in the state of Pennsylvania. And I can't necessarily tell you the last time that the number 1 player in the state of Pennsylvania, I can do some research and I'll get to that eventually, where the number 1 player in the state of Pennsylvania was at the quarterback position. This is a position that hasn't really cycle to cycle garnered an offer by the Nittany Lions. There have been times, you know, Bo Prabula, primary example, where they developed a target in the state of Pennsylvania, but he was the first in-state freshman to come on board on a scholarship in more than a decade. Now here's Matt Zollers at a Spring Ford High School, guy that we loved in the 7-on-7 tournament at Penn State last summer. A lot of people love him now, Tyler. He has had a chance to go out and about. He went south. He's seen different schools. What's the latest with him, where Penn State fits, and who else is involved?
I'm kind of getting down to it for him at this point. You know, his basketball season's over, and that was something that, you know, kind of delayed this spring visit schedule coming together. Now he could focus back on his recruitment. You know, he's going to be at Penn State on March 29th, and that's a big-time visit. You know, Penn State, this is one that Penn State wants to get done. I mean, he's the top quarterback target for Andy Kotelniki right now. He's one of the top overall names on the board right now. They'd love to add him to that 2025 class. You look at some of the other top suitors, you know, Missouri's right there. Georgia's right there. Pitt's probably more on the outside than these other than these three programs, but you know, you can't discount another in-state option. Georgia's interesting because you got to see what goes on with Juju Lewis. That being said, you know, Georgia's been so involved with Zollers, it kind of looks like it would move on him regardless of what's going on with Juju Lewis at this point. And with Missouri, I mean, Zollers is the top name on that board, just like he is at Penn State. So another situation where you've got an in-state prospect who's not only high on the board, but is going to be placing a lot of stock in these spring visits. Because Zoller's plan essentially is, you know, go through these spring unofficial visits, come to a decision shortly thereafter, and then you use your summer. Instead of taking official visits to your potential landing spot, you take an official visit to where you're committed. So this is more of an accelerated timeline as compared to Olish. It's probably going to happen sooner. You know, you hear good things about where Penn State is at, but then again, Georgia and Missouri, you got to keep an eye on those two. Right now, for me, too early to call where this one's going to happen. I want to see what comes of those visits. I think it's kind of tough to get a read on where this one's really heading until those visits take place.
The timelines tend to wrap up earlier for quarterbacks, particularly of this caliber, because they want to be, and the staff wants them to be, a catalyst for that recruiting class. Build it out, and it's pretty important when you've got a quarterback to dial it up to receivers, running backs, offensive linemen to help sell that vision for the future. We just got a chance to go face-to-face with Andy Kotelniki, Tyler. You know, every time that happens, we get to kind of chip away a little bit more, learn more about that personality. And, I mean, we don't have to chip much. He puts it out there. He exudes the kind of confidence that we heard about from his time at Kansas and before that at Buffalo. This was the word on this guy, that if you get in a room with him, he's going to light it up. What do you think about his role here? The fact that it's going to be spending, I'd imagine, some significant time together with Zollers in close quarters during that visit, maybe watching some film, maybe, you know, really getting down to some nitty gritty of conversation of what they think they could accomplish together, or what Kotelniki believes that they could do together if you were to come to State College. And let's put it out there. We're talking about someone who's kind of on a Drew Aller like ascension right now. I mean, Drew Aller, I don't know if he was rated this highly at this stage of that last year of his high school career. You know, he eventually got the 5-star territory, but in March of that year, I don't know if he was already in the top 70 rankings. I know
people I went back.
My point here is that Zollers is somebody who, if Drew Aller were to deliver a big year under Andy Kotelniki and look the part of someone who's ready to go off to the NFL and make himself a huge payday as a high-level prospect, then we're talking about a major competition. And even with the preceding talent that is here on campus and already working under Kotelniki, we're talking about somebody who may be in that tier of prospect where if he comes in January, by the time you get into August, he's really in that mix. And you know, I just want to kind of put out there that this is more than just a building toward the future thing. This guy could quickly become a part of the present conversation when he comes to campus.
It's huge. I mean, Kotelniki's presence, there's no way around it. It's huge. You know, coordinators, they might not be involved in the daily, day-to-day recruiting as much as the position coaches, but when it comes time for these visits, and these staffs know when it's time to close on a kid, especially with a quarterback, the coordinator is going to be huge. And in this instance, in Penn State's case, Danny O'Brien is huge too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he has been with Zollers pretty much since day one of Penn State's involvement. And Zollers has said, you know, he likes that Penn State has Kotelniki in place as the OC. Then he's got O'Brien dedicated to working with QBs. You know, that's something that appeals to him. And so, yeah, I mean, Kotelniki, a huge season from Drew Aller, I mean, would do wonders for general quarterback recruiting, you know, now and moving forward. But we saw it in multiple instances under Mike Yurcich. You know, he had his faults as a play caller, but on the recruiting trail, he was able to score some big wins for Penn State. So this is Andy Kotelniki's first test in that sense. You know, he had to inherit this relationship on the fly and build it in his own way with his style of coaching, with his scheme, and, you know, just his overall philosophy and the energy that he brings to the table. You know, you don't know how that's going to be received by a prospect, but Zollers has received it well. At least that's the feedback that we've gathered throughout this whole process. So I think that just Kotelniki, when it comes down to it, definitely huge. No way around it. His presence is going to be crucial here.
And just a quick reminder that Beckham Kritza spent his junior season of high school in Colorado, now at Miami Central High School, a big time program down there, the number 41 quarterback overall three-star category right now in 24/7 sports rankings, has been committed to Penn State since November 14th. He jumped on board. It was really an interesting time, just within about 48 hours or so of Mike Yurcich's firing. All right, so moving ahead from the quarterback position and looking to this weekend, which is just about underway here as we record on a Friday afternoon, another group of visitors coming to campus, more practice to be had by this Nittany Lions squad as they work their way toward the blue-white game next month. What do we need to know from a prospect standpoint in terms of what Penn State has brewing in the next next day or two?
You know, you look at this visitors list for this weekend, it's really centered around the underclassmen. You know, Elijah Dotson, the defensive back from Detroit, he's playing at Belleville now in Michigan. He visited for the whiteout. You know, he's probably the most notable 25 that we have confirmed. But you look at this list, you know, two quarterback prospects, Dia Bell and Troy Hoon, they're going to be on campus. Matt Sieg, the in-state safety from Fort Cherry, who is just a really talented kid all around, he's going to be on campus. Penn State looks really, really good there early on, but, you know, we're talking about 26, so we've got a long way to go there. But this is pretty much the weekend of underclassmen, and it comes before – now, next weekend is going to be – I mean, we already mentioned Zollers. If you take a look at the list we have confirmed on Lions 24/7, there are going to be a lot of top 2025 targets in town next weekend. So this one's more underclassmen-focused, and that's good for Penn State. You know, it Darius Gray, you know, an offensive line from Virginia, he's another one who's a big name. And it's good for Penn State. You know, you want to continue to build, you know, the relationships and make inroads with these guys. This is how you do it. You get a bunch of young guys on campus, you get them around spring practice, you talk with them, make them feel comfortable, and you work on continuing to get them back to campus.
Yeah, maybe not as much immediacy in terms of, yes, of headlines for folks who follow recruiting, but we're talking about, you know, 2026 guys coming up from South Florida, quarterbacks who have offers from the Nittany Lions long-term visiting campus. These are important visits, stepping stone kind of visits. And as you mentioned, next weekend, and we'll have you on the podcast again to get another look toward that, but that sets up as kind of the appetizer to what we expect to be a major event in Beaver Stadium for the Blue-White weekend. And so something to look ahead to on that end. You can follow our coverage at Lions247.com with Tyler Cabarrusso, kind of mapping things out along the way next week. Brian Doan will be doing a lot of the heavy lifting as well in the recruiting coverage. Let's close out with kind of a review on where things stand from an official visit standpoint. We talked about it early on with Jaden Blair, the four-star safety, having his locked in and how that kind of factors into his decision-making process. And you've got a pretty significant list here of guys that have fairly recently decided when they're going to be here in Happy Valley. I'll let you begin where you want. Where do you think the focus shifts to when you look at the list?
You know, this list, it was like no secret before today to, you know, for our Lions 24/7 subscribers. We've been tracking this for a while now in terms of official visits. But a lot of guys went public with their plans to officially visit today. You know, I guess Penn State got them their graphics and they were eager to get them posted on social media, and they're out there now. I mean, you know, starting with that May 31st weekend, Romero Eisen, who's a regional wideout target, you know, inside guy at the next level. Penn State likes him. You know, he has moved up the board coming out of winter visits. So that's a name to keep an eye on that week. I mean, then you just run through top cornerback targets, have locked in officials. You know, Brandon Finney, who was on campus last weekend, he's going to be back for an official for the weekend of June 7th. Jameer Joseph, who's a top 24/7 corner from St. Joe's Montvale in North Jersey. You know, Penn State has recruited well there in the past. It's a good relationship with Augie Hoffman, who's back as the head coach at St. Joe's Montvale. He's going to be on campus for an official during the weekend of June 14th. Dwayne Galloway is a top 24/7 corner from Ohio. You know, still trying to figure out where exactly he fits into the plans for Penn State when it comes to that secondary recruiting board, but he's locked in for an official visit for the weekend of June 21st. Another guy who's locked in for an official visit during that same weekend in the secondary is Deshaun Stewart from DePaul Catholic, another North Jersey program. Penn State has, you know, already enjoyed some success recruiting this cycle with the commitment of Mike Troutman. You know, Stewart has, I don't want to say he's been moving up the board, but he's up there. You know, he's one of the many guys Penn State is in on that is positional versatility. Could play corner, could play safety. Projection is still being figured out, but an overall talent that Penn State likes. You know, sticking with that weekend, Landon Rink, the defensive lineman from Texas, he's going to be on campus for an official visit. And we already touched on Blair. We touched on Alvin Henderson. A bunch of the commits are locking in official visits as well. So you always see it with the commits. You know, they all tend to make it to town for the same official visit weekend. You know, last cycle, Kari Jackson was the only one who didn't visit that big official visit weekend. That was only because of his own individual plans. But it's looking like that weekend of June 14th, is going to be the big visit weekend for Penn State. You got Brady O'Hara locked in. You got Owen Alessine locked in. You got Beckham Kritzer locked in. You've got Keandre Barker locked in for that weekend. So a lot happening on the official visit front. And it's going to continue to happen. You know, they're going to still, Penn State, working to finalize officials with a bunch of guys. I mean, even going back to our reporting during the week, you know, Jarquez Carter made it from defensive line, four-star defensive lineman from Florida, made it up for an official heat or for an unofficial visit for spring practice. He's going to be back for an official visit. Zaire Addison, who is one of the upperclassmen that I mentioned for next weekend's visitors list, he's got an official visit locked in for the weekend of June 14th. So a lot of movement. It's going to continue. It's an exciting time, though. You know, it's a good time to be on Lions 24/7. All these visits going on. It's good stuff, man. You know, we love covering it over here. So I'm excited to see which officials get locked in moving forward. Already so many on the board.
It's a very good time to be following Tyler Calabrese's coverage beyond the 30 minutes to an hour. You might find him here on the podcast on a week-to-week basis. He is working the clock and working, burning the midnight oil, as they might say, every day over at lines247.com right now, as there's news shifting and a lot of different pieces coming together for Penn State's recruiting plan. Appreciate the coverage. And you mentioned Landon Rink. He's somebody that was really interesting to me, a defensive lineman out of Cypress, Texas. And Penn State pops up as one of his four favorites right now, along with Ohio State, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma. There's a story about that at Lions247.com right now, but just a really good example of a guy who's really going to get a 48-hour peek into what you've got cooking, then go back home to Texas. And not everybody's the Jadon Blair, where you're just kind of looking for the final little piece of the process. Some people are coming a long way. They don't really have a lot to work off of other than what they've heard from you long distance, or maybe you visited them at some point. So it's an exciting time because there are opportunities for guys that are right now maybe just kind of on the peripheral to suddenly be right there and be in this class and be guys that we're talking about building the future around here in Happy Valley. Tyler, anything else that we need to know about what you've got cooking for our folks over at lines247.com? And by the way, if you're not one of them, right now you can jump on board 30% off an annual VIP subscription. So we'd love to have you. Tyler, what can they find in the upcoming days?
Just stay locked into the site. You know, we're going to have that visitor reaction coming out of this weekend. And then there's just going to be a bunch of that moving forward. You know, even before that, March 29th, weekend on Saturday, where they're going to have a lot of guys on campus. They're going to be big time visitors on campus during the week. So really just stay tuned. You know, we've got a ton of stuff coming, and the end of March here is just the start. You know, April, we got the blue white game coming up. So I mean, a lot of content coming, a lot of insight into how some of these recruitments are playing out.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't blame you for looking ahead to June a little bit. You mentioned that June official visit weekend. I'm just picturing, well, that's, I know what's going to be happening there. We'll be covering a 7-on-7 tournament. The golf carts will be going around with the staff members and the prospects and their families. And here we go again, coming our way soon enough. But we will get to that when we get to it. We'll close out March strong in the next week. Tyler Calabrese, appreciate your time as always. Thanks for hopping on.
Thanks for having me, man.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Lions 24/7 podcast. Big thanks, as always, to my colleagues for hopping on. We had Mark and Daniel on last episode, breaking down the end of the basketball season and the continuation of Penn State spring practice. As I referenced, went over an hour earlier this week. So a lot of content there in case you missed it. We'll be back with a couple fresh episodes for you next week. We are back on the practice field to get another look at Penn State in action as they continue to work through a really crucial phase with three new coordinators, 20 plus new scholarship members on the roster, doing the best they can to get a big jump toward the summer and ultimately toward that preseason camp. A lot coming your way at lines247.com. Mark Brennan is on the coverage for this NCAA championship run that Penn State Wrestling hopes to make. That is a drama unfolding right now on a Friday afternoon. We'll see if that culminates in another national championship for that squad. Stay tuned to that at lines247.com. For now, I'm Tyler Donahue stepping away. Thanks as always for listening or watching the Lions 24/7 podcast.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.